acting like he does up there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is calling the order of the meeting at the organizational meeting of the Savannah County Board of Supervisors. As this is the organizational meeting that happens annually in January, I will begin the meeting and take care of some of the administrative processes. Once the chair is elected, we'll turn the gavel back over to the chair and we'll continue with the rest of the organizational meeting before the regular items on the agenda. So if you all please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So as I said, this is the organizational meeting, and so in that meeting, the board elects a chair, a vice chair, and then adopts various motions and resolutions to cover the agenda for the year on when they're going to meet and what days and times and things like that, and then their bylaws. We'll begin with the first order of business is the call for election of a chairman, and would someone like to make a nomination for chair for 2019?
I nominate Mike Sheridan for chairman of 2019.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mrs. Eager, a second by Mr. Weaver for nominating Mr. Sheridan as chair. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Signify no for those abstaining. Okay. So motion passes 4-0-1. And congratulations, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir. And we will now move forward with the election of the vice chair. Do I have a nomination for the vice chair?
I have a nomination, Mr. Chair. Mrs. O'Brien.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mrs. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0-1. All righty. Adoption of a resolution entitled Organizational Meeting of Savannah County Board of Supervisors 2019. Do I have a motion to adopt?
So made.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Adoption of 2019 regular meeting calendar, and we are having some issues.
Yeah, so I'll show you the dates.
They got it behind us.
Oh, Kelly, that's on. The dates that you know about are this first one, today and 2 weeks from now. You've already approved those last year, so those are in red on your screen. But there's also one other day that has a conflict, and that's Tuesday, July 4th, which is a Thursday. So I moved the meeting to July 2nd as a proposal for you. Here's the calendar. So normally you would have a meeting on July 3rd, on Wednesday, July 3rd. That's your double meeting, the 4 o'clock meeting, 7 o'clock meeting. So if you want to move it back to the 2nd, or if you want to leave it on the 3rd, it's perfectly fine either way. But oftentimes, when it's right before a holiday, you'll move it back a day just to give people a chance to get out of town, whatever works best. So the proposal is the standard times and dates, except for this one, would move to Tuesday, and the two this month that got pushed back a week.
Okay.
Those are the only changes to the norm.
Anything wanted any discussion about it?
No, I think that's a good idea.
I think the July 2nd is a good idea. Just if somebody wants to get out of town, they can beat tracks or whatever. Don't want to be on the road late that night, for sure. So do I have a motion?
I move to adopt the 2019 Board of Supervisors regular meeting calendar as presented.
Second.
Motion is made by Ms. Seeger and seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. And adoption of bylaws and rules of practice and procedures.
So a couple of updates in here, and I'll just highlight them on the table of contents page. First of all, the agenda item submission and the order of business. The only change in those sections that we added boards, commissions, and committees as 7A. Now, you did that last year and you approved it, but it's being codified in here now. So when we go down to those sections in the bylaws, it will just be identified once I get there. It will just be there in red where we added 7A for the appointments, for boards, commissions, and committee appointments. And then in this subsequent section, we just added it to the order of business. And so you've been doing that for a number of months now. If that's the same, we'll just put that in your bylaws. The other one that you've talked about a couple times, and I think I have it correct now, Mr. Payne and I were still a little bit unsure, so I've done some highlights on it, but that's on the official board travel. We expanded that paragraph, so the old paragraph is lined out there. The new paragraph, it shows, explains it a little more, because there's been some questions, so we just explained it a little more. This also is in concert with the new travel regulations that you approved earlier or last year for yourselves and the rest of the staff, but there are some special items in here. The one that comes to mind is supervisors are eligible for mileage reimbursement for travel to and from, for special meetings, work sessions not regularly scheduled, town hall meetings, community events, and the like, but also board, commission, and committee meetings when you're assigned as part of your service as a county supervisor, and when traveling to meetings outside the county. Now, I think that's what you said when we talked about it before. So for instance, if Ms. Eager is traveling to the social services board in the county, we don't do remuneration for that because she gets a payment for that. If someone is traveling to the there's three of them, social services board,
planning
commission, same thing, that's in the county. And then the Central Virginia Regional Jail is actually out of the county. It's about a 75-mile round trip for someone that lives in our county. So that's the one that you said we would. So if there are board, commission, or committee assignments that you assign to each other as part of your duty as board members, then you would be requesting, you could request mileage allowance for driving to those trips if they're outside the county. I think that's what you said. That's what was on my notes. So just want to make sure before you push a button.
Well, I thought it was for those where you were already being compensated.
Where you were not, or were?
You were already being compensated additional amount. So in other words, in the case of planning commission, you're being compensated, right?
Well, that's what I had proposed in the yellow down below.
Right.
But I think you ended up saying, unless it's outside the county.
If it was outside the county,
you
said last meeting.
Or if you appoint a board member, in your case, you're appointed to the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission?
Right, that's outside.
Right, you would normally be able to request remuneration for that for your mileage. If you have a committee assignment here in the county, then normally no, because those so ones that you sign are have some pay for it.
Parks and Rec.
Right.
Yeah.
West Thompson, I'm still not right.
Okay.
But if I go to Columbia, I can be reimbursed.
Yes, that's not a board commission or committee assignment. That's a task force, and you're going as like a community meeting. So clearly, yes.
It's confusing.
It is very confusing. And I've struggled with the language 50 times.
Do you want a motion?
Well, I want to resolve paragraph 3 for sure so that everybody's on the same page.
Well, I think I'm the only one that's affected, and I'm fine with it.
It's available.
No, he said that's outside the county.
That's outside the county.
Okay.
Or Parks and Rec, same thing. So.
Yeah, okay.
Anything that we go to inside the county.
That you're not paid for.
Parks and Rec, you could be
reimbursed. You get
mileage. Yeah. That's not.
Right. Yeah, it's right.
Well, that's not what this says.
I know it does. Okay.
There are board assignments. So when the board formally, every other year, assigns a supervisor to a board, commission, or committee. What this says is that if it's in the county, you don't request reimbursement for it. It's just part of your duty as a supervisor.
Right.
If it's outside the county because it's longer drive and you're going to it, then they're using your car more, then you could request reimbursement. I don't care. I just want to make sure you know.
I understand it because a lot of my things I do are outside of the county, but a lot of them inside of the county. So that's saying to me that I cannot do travel if I go to the library, if I go to Partnership for the Aging, anything.
No,
that I go
you're not assigned to the Partnership for Aging,
right,
by the board.
Yes, I am.
You are?
But,
okay.
But you're not paid for it.
No.
Okay, so then you would be able
right
to put
yeah,
it
yeah,
in for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
that's not what that says. When you
right, it does.
How about if we just, how about if we just delete?
If the commission is paid, any unpaid
can get it inside the county.
Right.
Yeah, any unpaid.
Inside of the county.
Yeah, anywhere. Just say any unpaid.
Okay. Board commission meetings when assigned as part of the service, and inside the county. And not receiving remuneration, comma, as well as any assignment
outside the county.
Typing is not my thing, so assignment.
You did pretty good on your text.
When assigned as a part of their service as a county supervisor, unless it is inside the county and they are being reimbursed. Not reimbursed, what is it?
So, no, BCC assignments.
Compensated, unless they're being compensated. That makes a lot less words.
So that says if you're assigned to a board and commission inside and not receiving remuneration, you get mileage. If you're assigned outside, regardless, you get mileage.
Right. That's correct.
That's how I think it should be.
That's correct.
I'm just trying to limit the words.
Yes. We need those. This is a time.
It's a number of pages that matters.
Yeah, I get paid by the page, so I'm trying to make this longer.
I think that's fair.
Essentially, it only excludes
receiving remuneration.
It only excludes two things. Social Services Board and Planning Commission.
And would this make it simpler if we put unless in, before inside, unless inside the county and receiving?
How about as supervisor, parentheses, excluding Planning Commission and Social Services Board? That's what I had the first time, except I had CVRG.
Oh, yeah, hang on, you got something there. I'm not sure that.
How about that?
That's good.
We'll be quiet.
That's good.
Okay.
To me.
So let's save this so we don't ever
lose
it.
Does that make
it simple? Yeah,
that's
fine. Yeah, there's not a paid commission.
Then you just add that one in.
Okay. So there's your.
I move to adopt the Board of Supervisors bylaws and rules of practice and procedures.
Second.
Motion's made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Mr. Nichols.
So now we'll go to the regular meeting.
The adoption of the agenda. Right. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself.
No problem.
I move that we adopt the agenda.
Second.
Got a motion made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passed 5-0. Now, Mr. Nichols.
Just a couple quick things, Mr. Chair, members of the board. So the National Frame Building Association, I think I sent this to you the other day, selected the Fluvanna County Farm Heritage Museum for a national award. It was second place winner for the institutional buildings in the 0 to 6 million category. And so that's quite an honor. The developer, the builder, is it Fog International, is who built the building, and they submitted that nomination. But this is quite a prestigious award, and there were hundreds of nominations submitted all around the country for different types of structures and buildings. So getting that is great, and I hope the company will have a representative at the Louisville for the award presentation. They only do the formal presentations for the first places, but our name will be all over the brochures and other stuff, and so it's a pretty cool thing.
Should one of us try to?
Well, there's nothing to be presented there, so they're not going to. They only present the first place in, you know, face to face, but we'll be recognized on the brochure and on the programming thing. So Mr. Moss and the Historical Society had a great hand in that, of course, in design and fundraising, and then of course the staff departments of Public Works, Parks and Rec, and Finance all really lent a great deal of support to getting that project completed. And then our contractor, Fog Interbuild. So they were really great to work with, and really enjoyed interaction with them. And they made a lot of great suggestions along the way that ended up making the building even better than had been designed. So congratulations to Fluvanna. Couple of good pieces of news. You heard this before, but I'm just codifying now that the FUSD loan has been paid off. That was $67,100.
Yes, you did.
And so that's been paid back to the county. And then the VPSA series bonds, those 2012 bonds, the escrow earnings on that ended up being $311,000. And so that will go towards the January 2019 debt service payment. So that's another big plus. That's more than a penny on the tax rate as far as going towards a debt service payment, which was a really good thing. So thanks to all of you and to Mr. Eager for participating, supporting that effort. And then Wheeland Sportsman harvested 5 deer this year. I think that's more than last year. Last year was a down year.
I think last year was a down year.
4,
I think.
Yeah.
We had 7 shooters just like we did last year, but there was one that was, one didn't come, and a new shooter did come, so even out the numbers. The weather was terrible.
It was.
But apparently, the deer liked it better than the hunters did, because there was plenty of action. The first deer was shot about 10 minutes after we started. So all those were harvested, and we took care of them, and there were no gut bottles left around.
How many did you say?
5.
There was one that was shot at in violation of what I recommended, because it was too dark. And hopefully, he missed him. Yeah. But we don't know one way or the other. So there might have been 6, but right. We got at least 5. And this year they were all does.
Helps control the population.
That's the control population. Yeah,
so that's another successful one. No injuries and a good time by hunters that don't get a lot of chances to go out and do that because they're all handicapped hunters. The convenience center rain shelter has been completed. I don't know what happened to this project, but this project was like 10 years ago. And there was actually down on the community center site trusses that were kind of sitting in the woods there that had been bought sometime a long time ago to be able to put a cap over this, and it never got done. I don't know if it's like the lights at the sheriff's office or whatever, but anyway, for $5,500, a contractor came in and built it from ground up, and it's done.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
Oh, it's fantastic for anybody offloading and trying to use the compactor and stuff, and so I'm hoping it'll work out well. But this company really did really good quality, quick work, and as long as it homes up to the first windstorm, we'll be happy and probably use them again.
How big is it?
Well, you can see from the side here, the compactor is the size of a container, so 8x8x20. So it's about 25 feet long from here to here. It covers the compactor part, and the materials go in here. But so in this area right here, that's a little less than 20. So it's probably a 25 or 28 foot run.
And probably 30 feet wide.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, it definitely is. It's pretty wide. Now the other thing that Public Works is going to do is they're working on an engineering solution that I'm requiring them to do, because I know that someone's going to come in and hit that post and that post in the next 60 days. It's mandatory because they hit the trailer when it got installed, and there needs to be some fairly sturdy concrete bottom collards there to keep them from hitting that, because otherwise the whole thing will collapse.
Yeah.
So
yes.
They're working on that.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah, and I just know it'll happen. It just, they did it with the trailer, and sure. I don't know how you hit a trailer, but they did. So
you'd almost think that they put an extra truss there too, because with three posts on either side, if you knock, as you said, if you knock either one of the end pieces out, it's like,
yeah, it could come down. But again, we're going to put bollards there so we can kind of block that, and hopefully they'll just scratch their vehicle and not knock this on their head. This isn't real data yet, but Mrs. Booker had asked about JABA funding, or jaunt funding, and so we've got a pretty long history of JABA funding, or jaunt funding, excuse me, that we'll have at your next meeting that'll show ridership and funding over the last 15 or 20 years, and so you'll have that for next time. I'm just waiting on a couple pieces of extra information from jaunt staff. And then your meeting, one more thing before I go to meetings. Mr. Weaver and I and other staff today met with, and the school and some school staff met with Train to kind of get an interim update on the status of the energy project. We've already cleared the contract, but we don't get our first full run of results of the first year until probably 3 or 4 months after July 1st, so sometime late summer, early fall. What we've been concerned about, well, what some have been concerned about, principally Mr. Winkler, is that, oh, by the way, the bills are running higher than expected. That doesn't mean that the energy project hasn't worked perfectly and hasn't met all its requirements. So, for instance, if you normally use 1,000 kilowatts per month, and they said you're going to go to 800 kilowatts per month because we changed all the lighting to LED, it may still have gone down to 800. They may be meeting the requirements, even though the cost could have gone up. Because if the rate had changed, and the rate changed more than what was in the contract, it could affect that. So what the school's conundrum is now is trying to figure out, instead of looking at a rate of $2.80 for fuel oil, they're only running at $1.09. Well, there's a big gap, and when you're caught thinking on savings of this amount, 1,000 kilowatts times $2.80 versus 1,000 kilowatts times $1.09, that's a big difference. And this was counted as savings, so we took the money out of their budget. They're not saving that much. They're saving the equivalent amount, and they're saving the right amount on energy usage, but the rates are different than what was estimated potentially. So we need to do a square up through this year, and through budget season we'll do that with the schools and let you know what the results are. But it was a very good discussion today, and I think they got the message that we want to stay connected and tied on us on this and get a regular update. They'll be doing a regular quarterly update for us now. So
I think they're doing a good job on it. I'm surprised that they are so detailed and all too.
I'm surprised that it took tugging pretty hard to get them to be detailed.
Right.
And they are now, so that's good. But they are working closely with schools. They don't work as closely as ours because about 80% of the energy savings for this project is all on school buildings because they're the big users, big buildings and lots of use. So ours are much, much less a part of the contract, but we want to make sure they're on track as well.
I think it would be interesting to have two figures. One, what it would have been if we didn't have the contract, and one, what it is now to show that actual difference.
I'll get Mr. Winkler to work on that.
Yeah.
These are all of our schedules. Are they
going
on our phones? I used to get them around.
Do all these go on their calendars, Kelly?
These mornings?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they will.
Because I put one in myself.
I thought they'd already gone on, but make sure you put all the budget meetings and the board work sessions and everything on there.
Mine is 23rd, is mine, blue, and usually yours is brown.
So let's have Andy maybe look at hers before you go today, before we go to closed session. So, but anyway, so the next regular meeting is the 23rd, and then you're back on schedule for the month of February, but you're starting budget season, so you essentially have a meeting every week. So the 6th is the regular meeting. You also have the budget proposal that night, work session, then following that, the school budget work session and a regular meeting, and then a budget work session on the 27th, where you'll get the agency briefs. But remember, because this is a full reassessment year, you have to advertise. If there's more than 1% increase in property values, you have to set a maximum advertised tax rate much earlier than normal. So that night at the end of February, you'll have to set the maximum rate for advertising. And I think the current number for equalized rate is just below 89. And so we'll be having that. When we do our two-on-twos with you in the coming couple weeks, you'll see all that data. And so by the 27th, you should be able to set a maximum advertised rate, but it's not necessarily what you're going to finalize. You just can't go beyond that without rescheduling public hearings. Any questions I can answer for the board?
Anyone? Thank you very much, sir. I will now open the first round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium, state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the board at this time? Yes, sir. Please come on up.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon, sir.
Marshall Tomlin. I live at 3422 Zion Road, over Troy, and I'm here today to ask y'all's help on making our neighborhood be a much quieter and peaceful neighborhood and safer. My request is help with the Cavalier Container Service. They are running an illegal landfill, and he runs equipment from 5 o'clock in the morning till late at 1:30 at night. It has become a problem in a neighborhood. I run a business, it's run. We own property, run a house. People complain them all the time. They cannot stay inside in the summertime. They cannot do anything because of the noise. Unfortunately, we live downwind, so dust and everything comes our way. My concern is that that's an area right across from Flew Valley County Women's Correctional Center. All of the contamination, there are 30 dumpsters sitting down in Lock Manor, full of coal pumps. All that rain and stuff is running off into the ground, into the gravel, into land that's becoming contaminated in the groundwater. This year, we have had 1.5 times the normal annual rainfall. Unfortunately, that conducts to problems. Me personally, I have a well that now, when I have a heavy rain, it's cloudy. I can't use it for a week. Can't say what happens or why it's caused the rain. Secondly, in getting rid of the noise and the machinery running at the late hours, brings me back to a code, and that's called the noise code in your county codes, the noise ordinance. That has not been upgraded for some time. It does have provisions in there that relate to noise and quiet times between 11 and 7. But as you know, from Zion's Crossroads to the county line on 250, that is a multi-use designation there, meaning industry, commerce, whatever, and residential areas. We happen to be residential, and we got all of this commercial stuff surrounding us. So we'd like to ask for a quieter time and probably eliminate the weekends quiet. Saturday night, Sunday night, Sunday. This particular gentleman, he has a habit of coming in on Saturdays after dark and working 1 to 2 o'clock in the morning. Holidays, you can count on him being over there. I don't know why he likes to work after dark. Probably he's doing things that he shouldn't. But if y'all can do something to help us, we would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stoneman. Is there anyone else wishing to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, I'll not close the first round of public comment. We have no public hearings on the docket. Action matters. A, 1 Virginia 2021 resolution of support. Mr. Nichols.
So this is the same resolution that you got before. In the package, though, there was no motion, so that's why it's in red on the screen. There's the motion. The resolution is the one that Mr. Shaver presented at December 19th or December 5th meeting, or one of those. There's the resolution, and it relates to supporting redistricting efforts in a different way than has been done historically in the past in the Commonwealth. And Mr. Shaver can probably answer questions if you have any additional questions.
Mr. Shaver asked apparently yesterday, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Shaver, but there was a bipartisan support for Resolution 214, is that what you said?
We had, today's the first day of the General Assembly.
Mr. Shaver, would you come up, please?
Today being the first day of the General Assembly session for 2019, we had a filing yesterday of Senate Joint Resolution 274, which is calling for the approval of the amendment of the Nonpartisan Redistricting Commission, and I gave you information on that last month. And it was co-sponsored by Republican Senator Emmett Hanger, as well as Democratic Senator Mamie Locke. And that is before the Senate beginning today. And so I guess what I thought was the language we gave you, what's up here now is an op-ed that appeared on Sunday in the Washington Post, co-authored by Ken Cuccinelli and Ward Armstrong. And you don't get much more bipartisan than that. Both of those individuals sat on our Redistricting Amendment Committee, and were instrumental in drafting it. So I guess what I would request is perhaps extending the boilerplate language of the resolution by one sentence to be specifically in support of the amendment drafted by the...
The resolution.
Pardon me?
The resolution or amendment?
Yeah, the Joint Resolution 274 and the amendment drafted by the committee.
Now, with Fluvanna, how long have we been getting petitions signed and giving information to Fluvannians? I know I do it at Fork Union. We've been doing that for how long?
How long? I'm sorry.
How long have we been given this information and having petitions signed in Fluvanna County at the polling area?
Well, I've been distributing information in Fluvanna County for about 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
About the work of One Virginia 2021. Mm-hmm. To pursue a bipartisan or nonpartisan commission to create the lines for redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think what he's asking is, whereas something along the lines of adding, whereas, you know, there was a joint resolution 274.
What's the last sentence? There are four.
Changing this in the fly is problematic.
Yeah. Okay.
My suggestion would be, if you want to change it, just where the
now therefore be it resolved.
Now therefore be it resolved.
That the County of Fluvanna fully supports and urges action to protect.
Mr. Shaver.
Hang on.
Okay.
Let Mr. Fain talk.
When the paragraph that says now therefore be it resolved, but that the County of Fluvanna fully supports and urges action to protect and promote democracy in Virginia through redistricting reform by the adoption of, by the General Assembly, of Senate Joint Resolution 274.
Is that,
yeah,
I think that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah. Any others?
No.
No. You know, like you say, this has been going on for several years. Last time that I halfway came in contact with it was someone, when I voted, they ran me down waving a paper in the rain. And I certainly can't make a decision on that. This really is not our responsibility. It's fine, and I certainly have never voted against someone not to bring an issue before the board. I think everyone has the right to do that when they think it's that important. But I don't feel like I have enough knowledge on it, and I'm going to abstain on it. Just because it's a Republican or a Democrat, I don't care. I want to make my own decisions. I want my own facts. And I feel not really qualified at this time to either say yes or no. And maybe it's great, but I don't know that. So that's where I am.
I think it's about time that we, that Republicans and Democrats and Independents work together, and I think that this is a start. So.
Yeah, I think it's, there's just so much evidence that gerrymandering is damaging to the health of our democracy, and it results in more partisanship rather than, and more division rather than parties doing what they need to do, which is to serve the people. So, in my opinion, I applaud the efforts of Virginia 2021, as well as, you know, many other organizations that have tried to do the same thing throughout various states. So I'm looking forward to Virginia finally getting this done. I appreciate all your help, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
We even have a little gerrymandering in our own county, because mm-hmm. the Columbia district goes all the way to the women's prison.
That's right.
Yeah. 1,200 people that can be counted, but the General Assembly gave you authority now during redistricting not to count prisoners if you don't choose to. It used to be you couldn't, didn't matter if they were in the district they were counted, but now you can exclude that number when you redistrict in 2021 or 2022.
During one of the previous redistrictings as well, too. So, Yeah, I mean, there definitely, games can be played. I'm not saying a game was necessarily played that time, it just has an impact. And, you know, certainly for a lot of people at the lake, they feel like even though they have three representatives, they, you know, look back at that and think that that was not in their best interest at that point in time. So,
well, you know, there was some who didn't want five districts and wanted myself, for example, I supported six. That would have given you two representatives basically right in the lake, yeah, not fringes. And fringes dilutes you.
It does.
And that's one of the reasons. And I think if you can't have four out of six, it shouldn't be passed. But the board wanted five, and that's where we are.
Yeah, I can understand the practical reasons for avoiding gridlock, too.
Except that you hardly ever here or in Albemarle County, because they have six.
Right.
And we had six for a number of years. There was hardly ever, it's not that it didn't ever happen, but there are rare circumstances where it's 3-3.
Like Mr. Weaver just said, well, you can't get four out of six to agree, probably not a good idea.
I fought real hard for five, and I knew that with five, my district was going to go into more in the Republican area, and I had a chance of not being reelected, but I felt that was the best thing for the people in the district. I worked for quite a while at polls for years, probably two or three. I still have stuff in my car. I'm totally committed to it, so I'm going to vote for it.
One of the most frequent questions I get from people here in Fluvanna County is, when are you going to do something about our precincts? And I guess I always have to stress, and unfortunately, is the work that we're doing relative to gerrymandering has nothing to do with the county, because it is devoted to state legislative districts for those representatives to the General Assembly, and is devoted to the state's congressional districts for the House and the Senate.
And I mean, when you look at our county, our population is so drawn into one area. I mean, people that can throw a rock and knock a window out of the Palmyra Firehouse have to come to Kent's door about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the 5th District is considered one of the most gerrymandered districts in the country. As a good friend of mine, Greg Kelly, who used to be a campaign manager as well as a district manager for LFP, would say, says the people in South Boston have very little to do with the people up in Manassas or Warrington. It's just very different parts of the country. Larry Sabato argues that we should have a much greater congressional body that we have, and the districts should be more compact and more representative. And again, because we haven't increased the number of congressmen, we don't see that happening, and we see these districts that really aren't, you know, it's very difficult for somebody to represent the interests of that compact area. So I do think this is a good effort.
Thank you very much. All right.
So what's on the screen is the red is the new language added to what you saw in your package.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have a motion?
Oh, sure. Just a second.
Yep. Come on back.
Do you want to do it?
Okay. It's fine with me either way.
Okay, I move the Board of Supervisors approve resolution number 02-2019. Entitled A Resolution in Support of Redistricting Reform in Virginia.
As amended.
As amended.
Because it was in the package differently. Thank you.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Seegerson. Seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
I abstain.
Abstaining. And our chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0. We'll go forward with B, preventive maintenance and on-call repair and emergency services for generators. Ms. Toller.
Good afternoon.
How are you today, sir?
I am good. Okay, generator services. Our prior generator services contract we signed in 2016. That contract only included one annual preventative maintenance visit, and it was a flat fee of $335 per generator, so an average of about $7,370 annually. This level of service has been inadequate for our vendors. We've suffered multiple generator failures and problems because of that. So we issued a new IFB in October 2008. We received three bids. Generator services was the low bid. The preventative maintenance costs for all 22 county generators, and this is adding on the E911 generators as well at all the tower sites, is going to be $16,400, and this is for quarterly preventative maintenance. So we've quadrupled the amount of preventative maintenance that'll be done. Additional charges are as seen up there for any additional work that we may need to have them do or emergency work.
Is that the end of that? Like,
yeah, these are the hourly rates for these. For any of that work, mechanical hourly rate for normal times, electrical, and then for overtimes and holidays, obviously, is a little bit more.
So you're going to do it quarterly, you say?
They're going to do it quarterly. Now, the cost per preventative maintenance goes down, but the overall cost does go up because it is four.
Seems to me, though, that if you did it every 6 months, and when you look at it, you can certainly tell you, or you should be able to tell whether it's going to make it for another 6 months. Seems to me that's awful close to look at something that when you just got through basically looking at it.
And I'm not technical and know nothing about the generator, so I can't answer that for you. I can tell you this is what Wayne Stevens requested at the time he was the Public Works Director. This is how he requested it be written, and that's what he felt that we needed.
It's pretty unusual to use emergency generators, like for our E911 towers and for the sheriff's office and for any other places where we've got those, and not maintain them at least on a quarterly basis. It's really unusual. Annual is, I can't even imagine why we were doing them just annual, and so I'm glad we found this contract, pulled it up, and redid it. But I would strongly recommend you do the quarterly maintenance on it too. Remember, some of these are remote sites where nobody even sees them. We don't even know what's going on with them until they're needed at these tower sites, because the tower sites don't get visited every day. So I think it's a good idea to maintain them much more appropriately than we did before.
Yeah, we have at my home we have a full house generator, and you have to go out and turn them on to make sure that they're going to work when you need it. Mm-hmm. You can't just wait for the lights to go out.
Right,
you have to, you really have to make sure that it's maintained.
Do we know whether any of those generators were reported back in some form or another, in some automated form, saying that the weekly cycle ran, any of those kinds of information?
All the tower sites do.
All the tower
sites. They run themselves every week.
Yeah,
which is what they're supposed to do.
Right back.
Yeah, but occasionally it doesn't happen, and generators are important. Most likely scenario in this area might be a microburst that comes through and takes power down, and that's when you need rescue services out there, snowstorm, those kinds of things. And if it doesn't fire up, then those services are compromised. So quarterly's a good thing, unless somebody's doing the maintenance otherwise.
So, Mr. Sheridan, do they fire themselves up every week, the generators?
Mr. Grandstaff.
Michael.
Do they fire themselves up automatically every week?
Yes.
Well, that's good.
At the tower site.
Oh, okay.
We have 22 generators that this will be running, but there's only, five at the tower sites?
Six.
At the tower sites.
Does this include the generator at Station 3, the Rescue Squad building in St. Louis?
Rescue Squad building, yes. I remember that one.
Because that one's been in bad condition.
Kent Store Fire, Fort Union Fire, yep, all of those are on there.
Oh, Kent Store Rescue.
Kent Store Rescue.
Oh, Rescue.
If that one's not, I would suggest we put that one on there, because I would hate to leave that one. They may need to purchase a new one.
Yeah, that's not.
We'll investigate that one.
Yeah.
Let's check into that one. Because that building still belongs to the Rescue Squad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even though, if we can add that on to our plan, that would be a good thing.
Okay, we'll look into that. And are there any other questions?
Anyone else?
And Mr. Weaver, this can be, we could go back and modify it and put a different IFB out. Oh, I'm sorry, we do deconflict that one thing on the semi-annual.
It was on the original IFB, there was a typo. One place I put quarterly preventative maintenance, and another place I put semi-annually. We were quoted specifically quarterly.
From all the offers?
From all the offers, and all of them gave us specifically per PM prices, and then for quarterly what the totals would be. So.
And we could go back and run it semi-annual, but we'd probably need to go back out with some new IFB so that people can re-quote, because if they're quoting quarterly versus annual versus semi-annual, their pricing structure would change.
Right.
So we'd need to go back out. But I'm pretty strongly in favor of quarterly maintenance of all these 22 generators, and certainly Mr. Stevens was as well. So I would recommend that. Even though there is a cost increase, you're getting four times the assurance that you're on the old one, and I think it's a cost-saving measure long-term.
And the original one was 7,000, what? Seven, just once a year?
Yeah, 7,370, 335 per generator,
so
times 22.
Let's say 7,500
right.
For just once a year.
Right.
I'm going to bet you the twice-a-year thing would be about $13,000. So to go quarterly would only add 3,000 or 4,000. Mm-hmm. It'd be a guess, but...
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the preventive maintenance on-call repair and emergency services for generators contract with GenServe LLC and authorize the county administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as to form by the county attorney.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Thank you very much. We now go to C, Zions Crossroad Elevated Water Storage Tank. Oh, look,
Miss Tolbert. We're finally getting to construction on Zion Crossroads. So the first contract is the water storage tank. You'll see this is the overall plat of the proposed line, and the water storage tank goes down in this area. And you see it'll look very similar to that. The insides, this is what we've looked at all along.
It'll be essentially a twin of the Louisa County one, mm-hmm. and same elevation.
Better
looking, absolutely.
We were hoping that our logo will be cooler. But now, just a reminder, too, even though we're awarding this contract, this is not a notice to proceed. So
right.
We still have to issue the notice to proceed, and there's some time between this and when we issue that, because we're still property acquisition.
Correct.
But the contracts can be awarded now, so these two.
And as you've heard before, we issued the IFBs for construction in May 2008. Bid opening was October 9th at the community center. For this solicitation, we received four bids. The low bid being CBI LLC has been reviewed both by Dewberry, the engineers on the project that designed it, and the county's attorney's office. So it's been reviewed by everybody and is ready to go. You'll also see that the estimated construction originally was over $2 million, and it comes in actual just under $2 million, so we have a bit of a savings there.
$248, right?
Use of carriers.
About CB&I, they are 130-year-old company. They have extensive experience designing and fabricating these water storage tanks. They've designed and built over 2,500 elevated water storage tanks. 25,000, sorry.
The Chicago Bridge is a really old company.
Yeah.
And they're legendary around America and worldwide projects, too.
Mm-hmm.
Older the better, is that right?
Pardon? Older the better, yes, sir, absolutely. That's exactly it.
Just like wine.
So they did do fog-capped two tanks.
Oh, I don't know if they did the ones down there, ma'am.
I don't know. I assume if they had, they would have indicated it in their proposal,
yeah.
And it wasn't
they
in there, so I'm going
right.
to assume no. I do want to point out that as part of the bidding document, CB&I submitted a proposed revision to the design in the diameter of the cone. This was reviewed by Dewberry, the engineer, and by Wayne Stevens, and both found it to be an acceptable change as a matter of how this company does things proprietary and all of the majority of the proposals that came in had slight differences, you know, differential in that number. So nobody had a problem with it.
Did it go up or down?
Down.
From?
Don't remember exactly. I would have to go back through there.
Reduced capacity here.
No.
It's just the base pedestal.
Yep. It's just how big it is at the
bottom. The way they designed their base pedestal rather than container size, it's still 500,000 gallon storage tank.
I think it went from like 30 some feet down to the 29.
Yeah, it was somewhat minor, and that's why it was a minor variation. And Wayne and the Duberry engineer both said it was not a big deal. If that's the way they wanted to build it, it didn't affect anything. So, but I did want to point that out to you guys. Any other questions?
Thank you very much. Any
discussion? Okay. Let me make a comment here. I found something interesting in here. The detail in this really amazes me. I'm going to read one of the details. It's on page 516. But anyway, it says, immediately after blasting and before any rusting occurs, apply one coat of Sherwin-Williams paint 646 PW to all bare steel surfaces. This coating shall be applied at a dry film thickness of 3 to 5 millimeters. If flash rust occurs prior to printing, the area must be reblasted prior to the primer application. Don't you think that is interesting? And who's going to stand there and check them?
Duberry engineers.
Yes.
And they watch for rust on parts they're bringing in because there are specific specifications. But that's one of the reasons why that's a 500-page document.
It's because of government language
and stuff and things like that.
The other thing is that hopefully you prevent rusting.
Absolutely.
The other thing is, if rust occurs, this gives a basis for recovery.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I can make this motion
look
super
confident. There you go. I understand this whole 500, 600 pages. You know that.
Rust, because I hate heights.
Oh, me too.
I know who's not checking
me. I can't see it either. I move the Board of Supervisors approve the Zion Crossroads Elevated Water Storage Tank contract with CBNI LLC in the amount of $1,991,000 and authorize the county administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as defined by the county attorney.
Second.
I was getting ready to hand this to Tony and say, all right, second. Motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Zions Crossroads Sergeant Water Booster Station and Waste Water Pump Station.
All right. And here's the second contract. And you'll see the pump station up here in the blue by the Women's Correctional Facility. The wastewater pump station down here by in the green. Those are the approximate areas for them. This is at the women's prison, and you'll note we've been told before they are designing this to fit in with the buildings at the women's prison, so it'll match everything that's there on the property. And the wastewater pump station, again, will be down the road at 15 and 250. So the IFBs for construction issued in May 2008, bid opening October 9th at the community center. For this project, there were 6 bids received. The low bid, Sargent Corp, was reviewed by both the Duberry engineers and the county's attorney's office and both approved. Now this one, there was an original estimated cost of $1.5 million. We did come in higher than that at $1.9 million. So it is a bit of an extra charge for this, but if you recall, overall between all three projects, it was an overall savings.
What ran this one over in particular?
I don't know the answer to that.
But this one has a lot more technical, mechanical stuff in it, and just the cost and
we sort of missed that projection on this particular one. But they all average in.
Duberry did that estimate, and if you're $300,000 off on something that high, that's
still pretty good.
The market, I guess.
Yeah, about 25% or 20%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sargent Corp has been in business since 1927. They have also a long history of successful, similar, and more extensive projects. They have 400-plus employees that work in 7 states and are led by a field management team boasting over 1,000 years of combined experience. So they definitely can do the project. Any questions?
Gee, this is a wonderful way to start 2019.
I will tell you the contract is not ready for the overall line, but that will be coming in the coming weeks. So.
Wow. Good.
Any other questions?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the Zions Crossroads Water Booster Station and Wastewater Pump Station contract with Sargent Corporation in the amount of $1,900,000 and authorize the County Administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as informed by the County Attorney.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much, Ms. Tolman. Appointments, boards, and commissions. Mr. Nichols, let's go down our long list.
So this is just, actually it's just one. It's just a reappointment of Mr. Peter von Keisling to the Board of Zoning Appeals. And so on the main page here, if you're wishing to reappoint him, just read off the yellow and then down to this line below with his name substituted in the appointees.
This is not the same as some of the others because you don't make this appointment. You recommend this appointment
to the judge. Circuit court, right.
Judge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so we do. I move the Board of Supervisors approve the following board, commission, or committee appointments. Board of Zoning Appeals, Mr. Van Kaiser. What's his first name?
Peter Van Kaiser.
January 1, 2019, ending term December 31st, 2022.
Second. Motion's made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. The only thing I was wondering about, do we have to go through our list again? We do that on a 2-year basis.
No, 2-year basis, yeah. Right. Only an even number of years.
When I saw boards and commissions, I was just in my mind, I said, yeah. All right, we're going through
just an even number of years for the board.
All right. Presentations, community volunteer update, Ms. Carr. I was looking around the room and you were sitting over there behind me. I was like, don't see her.
Just left mouse, Carol.
Left mouse. Oh, thank you. Okay. Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak to you about the work that I've been doing and also to have the opportunity to do this on behalf of the county. It's something that when I first saw the job description, I was rather stunned.
And we are ecstatic to have her. She's been amazing already.
And there's a lot of rich material there. But quite honestly, when I took on the job, it really felt after a couple of weeks that I was trying to hold an octopus. And it was winning most of the time. So I'll give you,
just hit left mouse.
Left mouse. Right. You know, I'm hitting the wrong thing here.
No, you hit
your other left.
The other side.
The other side. Oh.
Here, just a second. Just tell me to go. I'll do it from here.
Okay, if you would. Next one. Yeah, the initial steps that I took were to, first of all, meet with all of the county agencies that utilize volunteers. And so I've been attending meetings for the Interagency Council. I've been at the Partnership for the Aging, and I've made specific visits to Parks and Rec to meet with Faith Stewart and the work that she's doing, and as many of the other agencies as I could fit in. When I took the job, I inherited a large number of materials that were originally created in 2014 by my predecessor, who was Roxanne Carter Johnson. And she was also the one who designed that beautiful logo that was on the very first slide, which I hope to make good use of. I was also given a long database list of all of the organizations that she had collected or had been collected prior, and she had pulled them together and put them in a database in a long list that you would find on the that you can find now on the county website under volunteer opportunities. I contacted all the organizations on that list, and as you would expect, if it was made in 2014, by the time it was 2018, it was pretty much outdated. So that took a fair amount of time, but it did enable me to interact with a lot of these organizations and discover more about what they're doing. And we have since published that on the website, and I intend to keep that on an ongoing basis, updating it, and hopefully adding some agencies, too. I've also been spending time researching the best methods to be able to broadcast information throughout the county. We do have a website, but that's not necessarily available to all people in the county, so we are currently working on other avenues, and I'll give a little more detail on that. I think the most significant thing that I did was to form a community volunteer coordinator advisory group. As I said, the octopus was getting a little bit out of control, so I figured if I got at least half a dozen people to sit down with me, maybe we could all take a tentacle. And it's been an invaluable resource because this is not something you can do alone, obviously. You need volunteers to be able to be a volunteer coordinator. And finally, the last thing that we're very proud of, with Aaron's help, I submitted on behalf of the county two applications for the 2019 Virginia Governor's Volunteerism and Community Service Awards. We did this on behalf of Wade Parish, as well as the FUMA Interact Club. And they were submitted in December, and we're waiting to hear if by any chance they qualify. But the fact that they were submitted is great. Next slide, please.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. So just to focus a little bit on this database, if you go to the website, this is what you will see. And the first paragraph, I think, covers very succinctly the work that I'm trying to do. This is a job where there are volunteers in the county. That's one thing that I have found. There's a lot of rich volunteer work going on in the county. My job is to basically coordinate the efforts. There are people that want to volunteer, there are organizations that need volunteers, and my job is to basically bring the two together. And the next page, the next slide will basically show you the primary focus of my work has been the county organizations. There's certainly enough rich material there to work with, and this is a county funded And many of these here are funded by the county, so that has been where I'm really steering my energies at the beginning of this whole project. On the next slide, I'd like to talk about the ways that we're identifying the best ways to interact with the community. Certainly the county website is a kind of my gold standard there. That's the first place that I feel dedicated to making sure that it's current, it's updated, and adding to it on a regular basis. Building on that material, we are currently in discussions with using the local newspaper to be able to begin publishing either the list or publishing short-term or one-time opportunities that might draw people in. And also publishing articles that we might highlight specific volunteers so that we can recognize those who are making a significant difference in the community. We also have fan mail, which is one way to reach into the community. I'm looking at the logistics of creating a separate email distribution list analogous to fan mail that would enable people to know what these one-time opportunities are or these short-term opportunities. Social media is not an area of my strength, so the county has fortunately engaged some help with enabling us to take, again, this raw material on the county website and enhance it through the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever the experts in this field believe would be useful to the community. In addition to that, I have been attending meetings of various county organizations. And I put together a brief presentation similar to this. It's basically saying, this is who I am, this is what we can do, this is how you can reach me, this is how you can advertise your particular needs to the community, and that will be a matchmaking endeavor. And finally, this is one thing that I hope to kick off this this year, is to just ask for 5 minutes on different agendas, different meetings throughout the community. If there's a church group, if there is a local group within the community, within Lake Monticello, for example, I'd be happy to go talk to them and tell them again about what these assets are that they have resources to. The next slide basically talks about the creation of a volunteer advisory group. I think it was Benjamin Franklin who said, if you want to get something done, you ask a busy person. And so I decided to go to, fortunately, many of those busy people are my friends and colleagues, so I asked some of, about a dozen of the most committed movers and shakers, and the next slide gives you a list of the people that I've gathered together. I have been truly honored that they will continue to show up and offer their advice and their help. They are all busy people, but I think they see the value in the initiative that we have started here. We have people from various boards. We have people from the local publications within the county. And we have other people who have really proven their commitment to wanting to get things done in the county.
Almost should be like that distinguished dozen of the Daily Progress runs, you know?
Yes.
It's a baker's dozen because there's 13 there. So
that's true. Well, I do hope to expand that as well. I'll talk to that in a minute.
You did piss off four of the board members. I'm just saying.
Oh, dear. My first presentation and I blew it. Going into the coming year, as I said, I hope to launch the community outreach on a broader scale, as broad as I can do it within the time that I can dedicate to this. This is a volunteer function for me as well, so I'm doing the best I can with the time that I have. I'm also specifically exploring the opportunities that we can have to work with schools. I'm setting up a meeting with Don Stribling to be able to talk about the volunteer opportunities within the schools for the students, or the volunteer opportunities that might be needed in the schools by people outside of, by adults in the community that might be able to volunteer with the students. There's a newly formed Fluvanna Leadership Development Program alumni group where we're bringing together all of the alumni, and I've talked to them. I've agreed to serve on that committee to help organize this because we both feel that there are ways that that rich group of resources and the initiatives that we have going on here might be able to interface. Just a couple of specific ideas. The main reason, the basic job that I gave the advisory group, I told them, I want your ideas, I want your guidance, I want your direction. You know the county better than I do, many of you, and therefore they've been a fantastic resource for this. One of them, for example, it came to my attention that there are a number of FUR organizations within the county, but they don't necessarily share the information between themselves as to who is actually getting food. So there should be a way to be able to combine all of the contact information that they have so that they can be sure that everyone in the county has an opportunity to be reached. And a speaker's bureau. Ms. Booker has raised this a couple of times in the course of our meetings, and I think it's a great idea. It's a way to basically take the resources that we have with all of the professionals or the adults in our community that might have some special skills, special talent or knowledge that they could share for different groups that might want to have speakers come in to speak to them. Teachers might very well fit into that group as well. And we're also trying to develop mechanisms for recognition and valuation of the county volunteers. Recognition is important. I think we can do that through our newspaper articles. We can do that through available through the governor's award. Now that I know the process of doing that, there are a number of organizations that I would like to get in touch with to have them propose for me. I can show them exactly how simple it is to submit a nomination form for this so that we could have some real recognition on a state level for our volunteers. And valuation of county volunteers. I know this has been something of great importance to Mr. Nichols, that there is a real monetary value coming into the county. We just have to have a mechanism to be able to capture it. At this point in time, the average amount of value per hour for a volunteer is $24 per hour. So if you start adding up the hundreds of hours, I mean, just look at all of the view. I'm sure that you put in many, many hours into the work that you're doing for the county.
That's a state number that gets updated periodically mm-hmm. that they use to value volunteer services and volunteer work that organizations use, but the state publishes that for us.
So on the last slide, I just have a couple of things that I'd like to ask for you, not necessarily at this moment, but I'm certainly available for email, telephone. I'll meet with you anytime. If you have any recommendations for additional members to our advisory group, I would welcome them. If you know people in the community, I'm not asking for a long-term commitment. Sometimes people can offer a lot of value for coming to one or two sessions, and then they can move on. But if you know people that you think would be interested in sharing their ideas about volunteer needs within the community, I welcome them. If there are any projects or activities in your specific district that you think would merit from volunteers, let me know about it, and I'll do what I can to help you find them. Also, if you know of people in your districts or in the county that you think should be recognized that I'm not aware of, just let me know, and I'll be happy to work with that process. And also, just what your priorities are for the county. I know that you have a million things to think about with all the other work that you do, but if there are things that you'd like to see accomplished in this county, like a speaker's bureau, let me know, and if I can help out, I will. Do you have any questions?
Thank you very much. I just say, if you do try to figure out the hours, mm-hmm. that's going to be a lot of them, fire and rescue. Almost all fire is volunteer, right. And mm-hmm. 50% of the rescue is volunteer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I would add those in. Yeah. And I was going to say, the class, I have a class at the middle school mm-hmm. that we have every kid, every sixth and seventh grader in the middle school volunteers for somewhere between, mm-hmm. it's supposed to be five and a half, or right at 5 hours a year. So we go across the road to elementary schools.
So we talked about that, and we also mm-hmm. talked about getting credit for the high school for community service for the half day. Used to do, I thought they gave credit. That's good on your resume.
It's good on your college
yeah.
resume.
We,
absolutely. Yes.
We talked about middle school is where we need to start. And we've already
I'm telling you, that's all we talk about is trying to make the world a better place for those
yes.
around us.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to serve us.
Right.
We're here to serve
and getting
us.
Them started at that age level is
that
definitely
level
where to begin.
In a, to come over one day. Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see it. I absolutely.
1:30.
Mm-hmm. In addition to meeting with Mr. Stribling on looking at the broader picture of volunteerism, we're also scheduling an appointment with Ms. Bruce in the high school, because at that level you do have such things as college applications, job applications, that I think the volunteerism can really make a difference. So thank you for your time.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All righty. Time for the consent agenda. I'll now read the consent agenda. G, approval of open space contract renewal for Dean Smith Johnson, Mr. Sheridan, the commissioner. H, public works director salary, Ms. Rice. I, CRMF request, historic courthouse repairs, Mr. Nichols. And J, CRMF request, social services building heat pump, Mr. Nichols. Is there anything we want to pull?
Steve, weren't we discussing today about the oil furnace, and we had $60,000 that we had to pay on interest? Would that be
right.
pertinent?
So remember the train energy project for the county. You took out debt service to pay for all those energy system upgrades. Of that debt service, there's still $60,000 left. When we met with Train today, Mr. Gall had asked them about the potential option of using that $60,000 for county and or school projects that may be suitable. So three things that came to mind in the discussions today is, because you can't use that $60,000 for something else and you can't prepay the debt service with it, it has to be used towards energy project. The oil-fired boiler at the historic courthouse, the roof-mounted blower and heat pump unit, or chiller unit at the Carriagebrook, and at the Carriagebrook upper elementary, they have the
some of the valve controllers
that are in part of their HVAC system that are older and need to be replaced too. We probably can do all those three projects with that $60,000 and not use the CRMFs. So what we talked about today is I would request you to go ahead and approve the CRMFs just in case we can't, because we need to get these done. But if we can use those dollars, we're going to work with Train to do that.
And so the one thing too, I would just have to get our bond kind of so in, then they would have to just approve the project.
Right, to make sure they fall in the correct category. But then there's some, we have a little bit of conundrum we have to figure out on the cost and how many bids we have to have and who can do it. But if we can use those dollars, that would be a great use of those dollars towards more energy efficient buildings on things that we're going to have to do anyway. So we would ask you to approve those pending the results of that review.
Okay.
Kevin, do we have any other
questions? I'll make the motion if you want me to. I move that we approve the consent agenda on items G, H, I, and J.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Is there any unfinished business? How about any new business? All right, seeing hearing none, I will now open the second round of public comment. Anyone wish to address the board? Should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wish to speak at this time? Hot diggity dog, this has got to be the first person in a long time we've had come second round.
How you doing?
Doing great.
Mr. Chairman. Bob Lyman, good, 124 Meade Lane here in the county, but more importantly, representing Budget Electrical and Mechanical just across the street. And I'm here to try to get some direction from the board. We want to, we're trying to get an apprenticeship program at the high school for our young men and women out there. Not only does that benefit us, but some of our young people, and if we grow, that helps the county as well. So, I'm just here to see what we need to do, what I can do to help procure that that need that we have here in the county. The guys now got to go to Albemarle, and just like to keep our guys, some guys in the county that don't have college aspirations and
want to get to come
here. Yes, sir.
Yeah. That sounds
That to me sounds like a school board thing, but that's something that we can try to pass on to them. But that might be where you want to go speak at the next meeting they have.
Okay.
Which is tonight.
The school board's actually meeting tonight, and if you
head over there now,
you can still make their second round of public comment. And the school board definitely needs to be, it would need to be addressed to the school board.
I mean, we feel that like we can fund it with the tuition that we pay if the guys pass the class. You know, we feel we can probably fund the things. So.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move the Atlanta County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1, Section 2.2-3711A5, Section 2.2-3711A6, Section 2.2-3711A8 of the Code of Virginia 1958 Amendment for the purpose of discussing personnel, perspective, industry, investment funds, and legal matters.
I second.
All righty. We got a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We're now in closed session.
Ladies and gentlemen, a Morris room for dinner in closed session. We will not be coming back.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Nevada County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify to the best of each member's knowledge only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950, as amended, were, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Do I have a second? A motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker.
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Yes.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver? Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So made.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
I mean, I have
Chairman votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.